So if you missed that on Sunday, be sure and look it up because, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated and you guys have a great time back there tonight. Have fun. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me take care of some personal business here. You asked for that, so there it is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's open our Bibles to Judges 6:11. Judges 6:11. I want to talk to you about the most important time of your life. The most important time of your life. So you might want to listen up. Because you right now, this is the most wonderful time of the year. But this is also the most important time of your life. So Judges 6:11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has this happened to us?" Have we heard that before? "And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord ignored him and said, turned to him and said, he did. He didn't want to talk theology with him. He didn't want to talk these kind of things with him. What he wanted to do was go right on and tell him what his assignment was going to be. So he said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So let's talk about the most important time of your life. I know you've had a lot of great moments. I know when I say great moments, immediately you think of some. You think of those wonderful moments, and, you know, when your children were born, or your love came to the door, or whatever, or, you know, all the wonderful moments, my grandchild, or Bobby getting his baby, and actually saw that scene in the spirit right there before she was conceived. Isn't that amazing how good God is? You have that, but I'm glad for your memories, but as the church, you are being mustered. Y'all know what that means? Gathered for such a time as this. The whole body of Christ is. And you may be thinking, well, you know, we've just had a great victory and praise the Lord and we can take our ease. We won the hard battle and it's certainly time to rejoice. It's a wonderful time to rejoice, but we actually have a major task in front of us. But here's the truth. It doesn't have to be hard. It may be major, but it doesn't have to be hard. And so here's where someone would say, look, I'm just trying to keep my own head above water. But I can tell you this, you know, people feel like they can't help anyone because they don't help themselves, but God's going to disagree with you on that. In fact, if you're willing to join in with his plan, your needs will be swallowed up. And so, believe it or not, it is a good thing sometimes to get your mind off yourself. And when you're serving or praying or praising or worshiping, you're doing that. You're getting your mind off of yourself. Now, so Sunday was interesting, wasn't it? Did y'all like that? And so we talked about things like, you know, faith moving things, and we talked about praise is what wins the battle. And so we talked about other things too. But so what I want to do, and this is going to, you're going to have to get the idea here with me. I want to introduce our mission for the next 24 months. And I'm only going to introduce it tonight, and we'll start talking about it January first, the first Sunday we have in January, okay? Because we're running right up to Thanksgiving, and so I have to preach on Thanksgiving on Sunday, because we need to be thankful, right? And then Christmas is coming, so we need to think about dear Lord, baby Jesus, who we love and adore. And so, you know, all of those things we'll be celebrating. But what I want to do is I want to get the pace going for you. And I really feel like you already know in your spirit where I'm going, most of you, particularly the thermostats. And so just a while back, the Lord began to deal with me about the folks here at Victory. And of course, you know, I'm preaching to the choir. You're here on a Wednesday night. And so, he told me that some really want to make supply. They really want to serve God. They really want to do God's will. And that some people would just really rather coast. They would really rather just sleep, if you know what I mean. I don't mean that in a condemning way. That's just what the Lord told me. But see, what it is it's people's choice. It's not my choice. It's not your choice. The old saying is true. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So we can encourage our friends. We can encourage people. We can encourage our friends that go to other churches and things like that. But if someone is not willing and they're not interested in making any kind of supply into this next time frame, then, can I be blunt?
Yeah.
We'll just go on without them.
Yeah.
And they can be here and they can watch and we'll love them and it'll be great. But we're going forward.
Amen.
And so there's always a remnant that'll go forward. People fall off. They get in their flesh. They don't care. They focus on other things. They're sleepy. They're this, they're that. And so they don't really care about what God is doing, except maybe just a little bit every once in a while when they get impressed. But that's not us. And so, I was concerned and for a while about prayer and praise and worship among us. And it just seemed like that for some folks, like it was maybe just a filler before the preaching. Y'all know what I'm going after here. And so, but then God told me to not be concerned about that, to release those, not them go away, but just to release that from inside and not take that concern, because that's their choice. And so that's where I'm standing right now. If you want to pray, come on. If you don't, I love you anyway. If you want to worship God, praise God, let's do it. If you don't, I love you anyway. But it's your choice. It's the church. It's the people in the body of Christ. They're going to have to make that choice what they're going to do. However, I would warn you that the church went to sleep before and America really suffered for it. And so we can't stop doing what we're doing. Point being this, as the church has been awakening, there's been power. And there's been so much power present in the atmosphere from prayer, from praise, from worship, that evil has had to pull back, in case you didn't notice. And so there were even people that said that there were some witches that were trying to put a curse out there, and they couldn't do it because there's so much power being released. Well, you know, if they're smart enough to feel that, then praise the Lord. So what's happened is that the church of the living God is waking up and they're praying.
Amen.
And it's causing their fellow members to wake up. Okay? So, I would just say to you that's where we're at right now. So we're not going to live in disappointment over who won't do what. And so now let's answer this question. What does that look like then? What does that actually look like? Well, from where we're standing, it won't look like any type of change. It's still everybody fellowshipping, being happy, loving one another, moving. 9:40 prayer will look the same, where there's a bunch of people in there praying and four or five people in there standing staring. Same stuff. But we're not going to focus on the black dot. We're going to focus on the white space. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Not going to focus on that. Because if we focus on that, if we're like, man, I wish everybody would come on along, we're looking at the wrong side of things. You're supposed to celebrate with the ones that are coming along. You know, just be happy about that. And let everybody else come along at their own pace. And so if you've gotten discouraged about family members or people or different people in the church or maybe your church, wherever you're going to, I would say focus on the good. Focus on what you're doing. If we were going to get really sweet about it, we could say, just mind your business and go on. Amen. You know, certainly encouraging people, loving people, but not concentrating on what someone's not doing. That's what John the Baptist, disciples did. They were concentrating on what Jesus wasn't doing. If they had looked at what he was doing, John may not have had his head cut off. You may not believe that, but it could be true. They were focused on Jesus out there doing all this stuff. Why isn't he getting John out of prison? Why am not? Why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? How about looking at what is working and pull to that and just pull right on through? So, we don't want to spend our precious time, because it is precious right now. If you recognize in your spirit what time we are really in, you know you can't waste time. So, listen, God is going to raise up a group for a grand assignment that will bring the glory of God into our midst. And so three things are going to come out of that. Number one, we'll be right in the middle of the Great Awakening. Number two, we'll see that evil continues to be rooted out in America. And watch it return to the Constitution and to God. And number three, we'll see a massive amount of people come to Jesus. And those, to me, are the most important things that are happening right now in the earth. Now, you know, all churches have different assignments. But we know ours. We know what our assignment is. We're world players. We're a local church, but we have an international view, an international ministry. And so there's a lot that goes on with that. And a lot of that is done with the group that we have that is called the Thermostats. And so those prayers have just plowed through, and I believe they've created a space and a way for us to move into some things. And so we do that online with each other several times a week, and then we pray on Sunday here together, and then we meet here on Tuesday mornings. And so, and listen, you can't be on the thermostats unless you're invited. You're like, oh, well, that's not fair. Well, you know why? Because we want to pray the secrets. And so if we just get a bunch of people that we don't know, then they could misunderstand what we're doing, or they're not prepared for what we're doing. Now, we're not doing anything strange. We're doing what the body of Christ calls for. But at the same time, we just don't want someone saying, here, listen in to what they're saying. No, we're not going to cast our pearls there. So we keep it kind of tight, but we're getting a lot done. Now, all of us pray too. The thermostats are just those that are able to move together. It's called the thermostats because we set the temperature where we want it. We are not thermometers. We don't go, it's 105, so okay, let's put the dial on 105. No, if it's 105, we're going to put it on 71 or at Amanda's house, 68. And so it's connected to the bigger power, and that bigger power begins to drive a force and give you the temperature you want. Well, that's what's happened in America. Yeah, I know there's some people upset and fussy, but there's a whole lot of people that are happy right now, because now we can get out there and in the harvest field and do what we need to do and still accomplish some things without being concerned that we're going to have to go, you know, hide in the woods or whatever, you know. Maybe you hadn't thought about that in a long time, but you'd be surprised the people that do. So here's the big thing. Prayer. Prayer. Prayer provided and is still providing so much power right now, church. You saw the million people at the mall, the million group. There are 450,000 of them. We were with the 2,500 up in Branson. Well, there's groups like that all over the place, and it's the prayer. It's the prayer that's coming forth. By the way, I'm going to say something to you about Branson. I've been going to pray with Miss Billy since 1995, I believe. I went to her meeting accidentally, not knowing what it was. Me and Deb were like, she's having a meeting. Let's just go. And we went up there and found out it was about prayer. And so, of course, we love Miss Billy, so we've been going ever since. Well, this time when we went is interesting because something came up and they asked for everyone who was over 65 to stand. Now, I'm telling you, this is a group of seasoned prayers. Extremely. You can get, am I right, Rachel? You can get things fast. Am I right? I mean, we can pray something through and get it in the spirit quick with these people. But guess what? Almost the whole 2,000 people stood up.
Oh, wow.
Now, Katie went. How's Katie? She's going to be 14 tomorrow. 15 tomorrow. That's who we need to go. Because we've got to raise up. Now the 40-year-olds here are going, 35s, whatever y'all are. And so that's good. But we've got to, this next generation, we've got to raise up some prayers that are really going to get a hold of what the Spirit of God is doing. Not just praying, you know, Lord, here, hi, this is Roxanne, and I'm in Marble Falls, Texas, and so I was wondering if you could please maybe help me. Now, I'm talking about in the name of Jesus, by the authority that God has given me, and praying into these things and praying enough into the spirit realm so that we can pray what God wants us to pray and move forward in it. And so it's important, church. This is the most important thing in our lives right now. And so then there's praise, and that's a huge part of winning specific battles. Brother Copeland said recently, he said, prayer is good, but praise wins the battles. Praise will win the battles. When there's things going on in the realm, in your realm, just start praising God, not for the problem, for God. And praise brings the breakthrough. I gotta hurry up because this is a short night. Okay, so, and then worship. Worship will bring the I am on the scene. And so he loves to dwell with those who want him. Not those who are just standing there going, well, I guess we'll do one more song and then pastor will preach something and then we could go down to Harding and Corona and have some lunch and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. No, people that want to get into what God is doing in the moment. And listen, you can keep that place in the spirit. You can just have a little hum all day long. And all of a sudden, God will just say, pray for so-and-so. Pray for so-and-so. And you could just pray for them. And it'd take you 10 seconds. God had me pray for somebody today I hadn't thought of in a long time. And I just said their name. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, Lord, I remember them. I just heard the name and then remembered who they were. And so you can just stay in that flow all the time. And so prayer, praise, and worship. And so if you have any kind of problem, if you have a pride issue about any of that, then I would just tenderly tell you, get over it. Now, so, because I don't have but another 10 minutes to preach to you. So, here's what I would say to you. If you're struggling, the Lord brought this to my attention. You don't realize your value. I think somebody reminded us of that this fall when Pastor Burke came. And he told us, we needed to realize the value of Victory Church, okay? So maybe you don't realize your power. You don't realize your authority. You don't realize your gifting. You don't realize the call on your life other than to go to work, live, and then go to church. Going to church is wonderful. I'm glad we all go to church, but we are the church. And so what we do is we're learning here. This is school. This is encouragement. This is provision, but it's also a corporate meeting to bring God on the scene so that we can encounter him and go out of here with power. I just preach myself happy. Praise the Lord. So here's the thing now. Don't tell me anymore. I'm going to get on the mama case right now. Don't tell me anymore. Well, I don't really do anything. I don't want to hear it anymore. You do. If you're sitting in here right now, you're doing something. You're pulling on the anointing. And you can pray, and you can say, and you can declare if you'll just work. I mean, what are you telling me? That you do nothing after you leave here? Probably not a good idea to tell the pastor that, but you know, I mean, so yeah, I'm not really into, you know, I just come to church, but yeah, I don't pray, you know. Well, maybe you ought to try it. Because the more you pray, the more power. Plus, God is looking for friendship. That's the highest calling. So that you will, listen, you have to be a part of what he's doing. We're not an audience. We're an assembly. Amen. Okay, so there's this problem with Gideon. I'm going to run through this. The Israelites moved away from God, and so the Midianites have come in, and they're taking power over them, and they're doing it to the point where they can't even grow food. The Midianites were real big on camels. I don't know if y'all know that, but they just let their camels come in and trample over everybody's farming. And so they just had all these things they did, and they just tortured the Israelites. And so that's why Gideon's saying, where's God, you know? But the reason why God wasn't there is because they weren't with him. They had pulled away. And so they couldn't grow any food. So here he is at the wine press trying to thresh out wheat. So he's even in the wrong place trying to get this job done. And so the angel comes there. And so he's telling Gideon that he's going to lead a battle against the Midianites, and they're going to win their freedom back. And then Gideon has this argument about all of it because he says, I can't lead. I'm not anybody. How could I ever do it? And so the story goes on to tell how Gideon became the next judge of Israel. There was Deborah right before him, and then he became the next judge. And so what happened was, if you know the story, there were thousands of men who came out that would be in the army. And so then he tells let me just read it to you and you'll know what happened, because he only ends up with 300 guys. Okay, here's Judges 7:3. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. So immediately 22,000 left the church. I was kidding. 22,000 pulled out of the ranks. They said, oh no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. Then it will be, now he that hath an ear, hear. Because what I'm about to say to you is, will you be one of the 300 or not? Okay? So then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same will go with you. And of whomever I say, this one shall not go with you, the same will not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, they're doing this. Okay. So was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink. So they got down like an animal would do and drank with their face in the water, okay? So then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the men who brought the water up to their mouths would stay to fight, and the ones who bent down to drink were disqualified. Why? Why were they disqualified? Because the ones who picked up the water to drink it like this stayed alert and on task. They're watching. They're watching. Kind of like all you guys that always don't want your back turned to the door in the restaurant, you know? You want to sit where you're facing it. Yeah, you do that, don't you? I think he does that. Mac likes to do that. Oh, and Candace likes to do it. Okay, so me too, Candace. But you're watching, and you watch the room, and you watch what's going on, and you're paying. So they could actually be alert. And so this is who God is going to pick. My point is, there are those who want to do their job to see the will of God done. And then there were those who didn't really care. They're just hanging around. Okay. So I'm not trying to be hard on anyone, church, because we all have our own decisions to make. But if you don't do the work, don't complain to the rest of us. If the church falls asleep or we lose the battles here, it's the same thing with the voting thing. My son called me up. He said, Mom, the people at work aren't even going to vote. He said, I told them, well, I don't want to hear a complaint out of you for the next 4 years then. Don't complain to me. I'm like, that's exactly right. Well, it's the same for us now. Don't start getting all miserable and pouty if things aren't going your way, because you have a chance to get in God's army and do God's will and have God working through you. Now, here's coming the beautiful part here. You're going to like this. So, prayer, praise, worship. Listen, here's a short version. They won the war with torches and empty pitchers and trumpets. They got out there and made noise, and the enemy turned on each other and slaughtered each other. Praise the Lord. I'll leave that to your thinking, but you should actually get that right now. So here's the key, and here's what you'll get. God called Gideon a mighty man of valor, did he? So he called him that. But this is a scared guy. He's scared. And so now we'll just abbreviate here. The bottom line is this. Gideon is afraid in the beginning. He's afraid in the middle. And I think maybe a bit shaken up when God reduces the army from 32,000 to 300. You know, he's like, but that didn't help. But God confirms to Gideon that he is with him, and that he gives him his assignment. They end up winning. You know the story. They beat the Midianites. They restore Israel. He becomes one of the judges. But here's what I want to get to. The verse 34, 6:34 is so important to us. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Ebiezer was gathered after him. Now, this would have been good enough just as it is. But it says so much more when you read what it really says in the Hebrew, and I love to get to tell y'all what things really say. The word came upon there actually means to put on, to wear. So in Hebrew, this actually said the Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. Church, he put Gideon on like a glove. So when Gideon decided to participate with God, what does the work, the glove or the hand? All you got to do is let God wear you. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is pick up the signals. Oh, Lord, I'm going to pray that. I'm going to do that. All right. I'm going to go here. I'm going to be at that prayer meeting. I'm going to do this. I'm going to watch it for this. Okay, we're singing this song. I'm going to make my supply. Okay, I'm going to worship God right now. Okay, I'm going to get trained up in praying. I'm going to get trained up. I'm listening to some generals. I'm listening to how to do it. I'm going to know how to pray in English. I know how to pray in the Spirit. You just do this, and God takes over, and we're so blessed. So God put him on like a glove. So the presence of God is hosted by a person so significantly that he actually lives through him. Amen. Now, that's not canceling out who you are. Okay? It's capturing it to the fullest, immersed in divine influence. You just are going to be immersed in divine influence and follow what God is telling you to do. And it is as there, you have your own personality. You have the gifts, the demeanor, all are expressed through God living in them. That can all be done. It's you. It is Amanda. It looks like Amanda. It smells like Amanda. But she's wall to wall God. And so things are happening. It's just you. But you can't deny that you're a part of it. Because people go, oh, I must decrease so that he can increase. Well, you little old sweet self. That's not a scripture for you. John the Baptist had to say that, but that's not your scripture. You know, you do know how to be humble and you do know how to let God lead. But the thing about it is if you don't do your part and get counted it on your part, God can't do it because he needs human flesh, human person to actually be able to work through. We have to be his mouth, his arms, his legs, his feet. We have to do all that. God gave this world to Adam. He gave it to him. We, by the power and authority of God, we have to do the work. And so we just need to be aware. That's what he's asking you for. Will you, for the next 24 months, just be aware? Yeah. Just make a commitment to be aware and listen and pray and worship and watch. Yeah. Watch what's going on in the spirit. He'll give you eyes to see. Yeah. You can go, I don't know about that. No, we're not. You know, you will know. You can have eyes to see. In other words, you can discern. Amen? All right. So, most importantly, here's another grace moment. Gideon received favor that brought the enabling presence of God into life to empower him to do what was impossible. Listen, God said this is the same story as Moses. Same story. He said, you're going to deliver Israel. And he's going, I can't even talk. God delivers the stutter quickly. Brother Robert stuttered. Did y'all know that? He's completely delivered of that. God will deliver you and God will use you to speak. And listen, you may not fill up a stadium and preach to everybody. But you can fill up the earth from your closet, from your car, from your house, from your walk, from your truck, from wherever you are. You can fill the earth with power. You can commission angels. You can work with heaven. You can work with God. It's all yours. And when you do that and you're his conduit, really good things happen to you. Yeah, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So there's no question that he is the determining factor in any significant situation. God is. Now, so what's just happened in America? The God factor. What's happening in Iran right now? Have y'all seen that? The God factor. Did y'all see the Jesus March in Iraq? Go look on YouTube and look at that. They're marching like soldiers. Jesus. And they're doing this. And I'm like, ooh, that looks serious. But they're marching in the streets for Jesus. I'm telling you, the great awakening is here. And so we don't want to miss the opportunity to give the supply out that we need. So stop and think, what really is most important to you? Because, yeah, you're going to go to heaven pretty soon. Jesus is coming. And if you do wait and go by the grave, what's that going to be? 30, 40 years from now? 50 for some of y'all? Maybe a little shorter for some of the rest of us, but maybe not. But Miss Billy said that she just have to tell y'all she will be here when Jesus comes back, and she's 86. I'm going with her. Amen. Praise the Lord. She's as spry as she can be. Now, so let's stop this none of me and all of you. Let's just say, I am your servant child, but I'm your child. I'm your heir. Yes. And I will serve you because I serve the family business. Amen. So, you know, we don't need to try to be noble about some of the things that just make it too religious. But church, shouldn't our righteousness have an effect on the outcome of things if he's made us righteous? Shouldn't it have an outcome that he made us who we are? I mean, let's go up a level here. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do we do everything right? Of course not. But this is who we are, and when you stand up for who you are, you start having that kind of nature more and more, and all those things that you don't like about yourself will start drifting away. You'll get some good stuff. Yeah, amen. So, it's not as though we don't matter and only Jesus does. You matter. You matter, and you matter in these next months. So if you're like, whoo, we can finally kick back. We'll go on vacation for 6 months. Well, go on vacation, but don't go on a faith vacation. Don't ever do that. Don't ever go on a faith vacation. You stand for who you are. Amen. Okay, so as we close here, I just want to say this to you. This is my plea, although I'm preaching to the choir, but it has to come out, right? Please stop considering that you do nothing. You can pray, you can praise, you can worship. Some of you do go out and minister. That's wonderful. We bless you. That's great. Some of you get out there on the street and win people to Jesus and all sorts of things. That's all wonderful. The prison ministry, things like that. But just let God put you on like a glove. You'll fit perfectly. Amen. And once again, if you say, well, I just really don't know how to pray, Pastor. Listen, God will teach you. God will show you. If you want to know, you can learn how to pray. You can start by coming on Tuesday mornings. Or you can listen. One of the very best prayer teachers in the world is Pastor Lynn Hammond. You can listen to her and you'll learn how to pray. So you can listen to us. So I would just ask you to consider your work of ministry. Because here's what it is. This is my ministry and your ministry. Prayer, praise, and worship. That's all of our ministry. Yeah, but you preach. Well, that's my part. But all of our part, that doesn't mean I'm exempt from prayer. In fact, it means more. Yeah, that's right. Prayer, praise, and worship. Prayer, praise, and worship. Well, you know, it's just my personality. I don't want to raise my hands. Well, I would just tell you to read the Bible. Yes. Just read the Bible. Read about David. David was a man's man. This is not about being a sissy. It's a matter of pride, actually. And so, but David danced naked almost and embarrassed his wife because she was prideful. And he told her, girl, I will get even more vulgar if I have to for God. Now he wasn't being vulgar as in evil. But he was letting it go. He was dancing and slapping around, and I mean, he was having himself a good time. So you've probably seen it. I don't know if you've seen it here or not, maybe at some point, but you've probably seen some people that get to dancing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The dance needs to come back. Amen. Taking a run needs to come back. The power of God hitting people hard and them receiving it needs to come back. And I'll just tell you, no matter how long we go and stay here, we're not putting Holy Spirit in the back room. We have a lot of friends, a lot of pastor friends around here, and they do what their church called them to do. We don't judge them. They don't judge us. And I hope. But if they do, then they need to stop. But I'll leave that to them, right? That's right. It's their choice. So, but here's the thing. We're called to bring people from milk to meat. We're called to raise leaders. We're called to see the glory of God. We're called to pray for nations. We are a declaring ministry, a prophetic declaring ministry. That's who we are. And if you're here, that's who you are. You may evangelize. You may have the gift of healing. You may do all those things, but you're called to pray.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you'll listen to God, you may pray for a person that 10 years later, you're going to see them on the scene. Amen. You'll see some things happen. And you don't even have to run out and say, I prayed for that. You can if you want to, but, you know, you don't have to. You can just go, look at there. God used me. Now, we're going to close with this. Go over, take your Bibles and go over to Hebrews 12 real quick and we'll close. We're even a little early. I want to make sure that everybody here gets this. Hebrews 12. Go to verse 18. Now you know this, but I want you to take now everything I just said. This is what you're doing right here, okay? For ye are not coming to the mount that it might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them. Who's that talking about? That's talking about Israel with Moses. Okay. They were afraid of God's voice. That's how they ended up under the law. They could have been friends of God like Moses was, but they ended up having to be given all these laws because they wanted to do it with their flesh. Okay. They said, we don't want to talk to him. Well, I'll just tell y'all, I want to talk to him. I want to talk to him and I want him to talk to me. And he does. Now, so for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so, as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible that the sight that Moses said, I exceeding fear and quake. But here's us in 22. Ye are come unto Mount Zion. That's us. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, my cousin was just asking me the other day, he says, what's the new Jerusalem? I said, hey, that's the heavenly Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. Anything that ends in im means two. Regalim. All of it, there's always two. So Jerusalem is two places. It's over here in Israel, over there. It's somewhere out there in Israel, and then it's the heavenly Jerusalem, okay? When we go to heaven in the rapture, the Jews are going to rule from earthly Jerusalem. We're going to rule from heavenly Jerusalem. But they're not that far apart once we get this done. They're not far apart anyway, and you know that. Okay, so, okay, I'm taking too long. Got to hurry. Okay, so listen to this. The heavenly Jerusalem and to an innumerable company of angels. That's who you're working with. You're working with an innumerable company. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. That's who you're working with. People that made it to heaven. What do we call them? If you flip back over here and read the first scripture, cloud of witnesses. Okay. Now, so then it says to the general assembly, church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. How are they different? They apprehended what they were apprehended for. In other words, they finished their assignment. The apostle Paul finished his assignment. John finished his assignment. I declare Roxanne finishes her assignment. That's who I want to be. So you're working with them. They're on the other side of the veil. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. So he's our lawyer. You can go to the throne of heaven. You can go to the courts of heaven and do the next thing. And to the blood of sprinkling, we can plead the blood in the courtroom of heaven that speaks better things than that of Abel. And so, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. That's what we're doing tonight. We're not going to refuse him. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So the earth, there's still a shaking coming. But what I'm trying to tell you right now is we're actually in this time, we're in the time of the Gentiles. This is a great parenthesis, and it's a grace time. But now, at the end of the age, where the next age is starting to bleed over into this age. That's what's happening. That's why you're going to see the glory and the great awakening. We're coming to the end of the age. That age is going to start pushing over into this age. There's going to be some real heavenly activity if you're spiritual enough to pick it up. And you'll see things, and some people say, oh, I didn't see anything. How do I know? It's written in the Bible. Remember when God spoke from heaven at the Mount of Transfiguration after that, or one of those stories. I'll look it up. Can't think through right now because I got to hurry. But what happened was some people just thought it thundered.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yep. I'm not going to be that person, Jesse. I'm not going to be the person who just thought it thundered. I'm going to hear what he's saying. And so in this time, this is what we're going to do. Prayer, praise, and worship. Prayer, praise, and worship. We're going to hear the voice of God speak what he needs to speak about. The new cabinet, the governors in the country, the president-elect, the people who have gone out of office, the Russia, Ukraine, Israel, all of the people are trying to war right now. Everything that God brings up to us, the church of the living God. Right now, college campuses, people are just getting saved and getting baptized. All over America. It's just happening. Things are happening. Well, why are they happening? Prayer? Nothing happens without a church. You could go, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. He's just waiting on you. Why do we fall for the trick that the devil is trying to keep our mouth shut? Shut. Mouth shut, not mouth shuts. It's the truth. I mean, we'll just be quiet. And we're not going to be quiet. For Zion's sake, I will not be quiet. Amen. Y'all receive this? Father, we thank you for the word. We will pray. We will accept our assignment like Gideon, and you will put us on like a glove. We will pray. We will prophesy. We will flow in every gift of the Spirit. We will see things in the Spirit. Our sons and daughters will prophesy. Our old men and women will dream dreams. We'll preach. We'll do whatever you call us to do in these next 2 years. We will do exactly what you need us to do. Pray through these states. Pray through these countries. Go preach where we need to go. Go do what we need to do. We say yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to receive our offering. Praise the Lord. If you would like to give via text message, you can click. Oh, that was great. Who's back there? Way to go, Ronnie. Text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. You can also go to the webpage and you can see how to give online, or we have envelopes here for those who are in the house, or you can just put your money in the bucket. And if you want to give Pony Express, we will water your horse and send them back to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Father, we thank you for everyone who's tithing. We thank you for everyone who's giving. Father, we thank you for the great harvest. You told us that great provision was coming. And I'm seeing it. And I praise God that everyone in here receives it. And we see even things that we're just going to have surprises, financial surprises, good ones in Jesus' name. Any debt that's owed is paid. Anything that needs to come forth that the people in the house need, come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brothers. We're glad that you joined us tonight. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Bye, Kyle. Bye, Candace. We're glad you're back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. It's a great day to be alive. Listen, I want to say one thing about those Feed the Firemen baskets. It is not our intention to go deliver those by ourselves. I know that's been kind of said, and Ron was saying, well, I'm so glad you and Pastor Deb just took that back on yourselves to do that. I was like, no, we didn't. If anyone wants to go take a basket, please join us for that. I'm not sure. We'll tell you Sunday what day. We're probably going to do it like on the Tuesday or the Wednesday. We're not going to wait till Thanksgiving Day to take them their baskets. But there's like about 8 places. So if someone wants to carry a basket to one of the firemen or fireplaces or fireplaces, not the fireplaces, fire stations. Blah, 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 blah. What?
The fireplace is calling you.
Yeah, I need to go home and light my fireplace tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
How many of y'all have a fireplace?
We got one today.
You got one today?
We did.
Did you get like a real one in the wall?
No.
Oh, you got one to bring in.
Yeah.
To put by your wall. Oh, cool. So, because you can always get a solo fireplace. Because I'm Snoop. No. Those things are cool. So, hey, pray for these celebrities. They're coming in. They are. People are like, oh, no, we're supposed to take the mountains, the 7 mountains. And man, I see some stuff happening with some of them. Praise the Lord. I heard Gwen Stefani call on the Holy Ghost. I was like, well, praise the Lord. Let's pray her on in. Listen, if they're talking it, let's pray them in. Don't just go, oh, they're never going to do. Hey, they're a voice. And they need to know. Plus, Jesus loves them. See, we got to get off our minds that we just go for the down and out. We need to go help the up and out, too. They are up and out. But they can come in. Amen. God, Jesus loves everybody. Everybody. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. He does. Yeah. He loves every person. Because wicked only means twisted, you know. We had to cast down our wicked thoughts. Even as Christians, we've had to. They're just twisted sometimes. But here's the good news. If you listen to God and you follow God, you'll untwist. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It's amazing how much over my lifetime I've had to change what I thought. Amen. We have to change what we think. It was really hard for me to believe God was good the way I was raised up, because if we knew, he was going to turn or burn. But man, when I found out he was good, boom, my life shot straight up. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Jesus. All hearts and minds clear. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen.